I'm not trying to, anyway, I'll tell you something. I did leave a wonderful ride at home, and she asked me, I'm going to take a few extra days here to be with our son, but we celebrated 32 years last night, or yesterday, I guess you might say, and in doing so, 32 years of marriage has been God's wonderful gift to us, and in that, we started out pretty young. So I want to tell you that we have three sons, and the middle one, Landon, lives there in Baltimore, and just might as well say just about downtown. And his wife is going to school. Our oldest son is 26, and he's single and lives at the University of Alabama trying to get his education. And we're thankful for him. He's made a decision what he wanted to do, and he stuck with it. And our youngest son is, in 2 weeks, will finish his 4 years of college and plus, and has a fiance of almost 3 years, and they've been dating for over 3 years, and they're to be married in October. So my oldest son says it's not natural. He's going to be the last one to get married. So I said, it's your fault, you know. So anyhow, we're going to tell you that much of us. We pastor a little church 60 miles from our home. The church had been in an association years ago. It was constituted in, I believe the year was 1836 or 7, and right there. And it's the same building. So it kind of tells you how simple we may be. The church, sad thing is the churchyard is not as pretty as yours, but there's a lot more graves out in the grave cemetery. But anyway, one of the preachers that comes there sometimes to the homecoming, he says he's got 5 generations buried in that graveyard, so that tells you how long his name's been around. So he's a pretty wonderful man. I like him dearly. But anyway, we serve the same Lord.
Amen.
And that's whom we come to praise. Our purpose in this life is not for ourselves. I do have to admit that we choose vocations. We grow up in a way to give us that opportunity. Used to, it was fathers handed down the vocation that they were taught. It's changed. I tell you, if I was taken the vocation my dad was that he earned his living with, I would be a salesman. And he could sell, and I'll tell you, I have done that, but I just didn't prefer it. But I like to work with my hands, and I don't know if that's a part of what maybe my ancestors did. A lot of them could work with tools and wood, and that's what I like to do. But when it comes right down to it, though, we usually take, like I said, vocations of what our fathers were. Today, we've been given a greater opportunities. Now, that's something that happens in our natural life. But when it comes to God and His way, we come to a rest, I'll put it, that we see the child of grace is going to see his Savior, and when he sees his Savior as who he is and what you have become or what you really are, he sees that, you know, it's by generation, you can say so. We can go back days of old, and I've turned to my Bible to the Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, and while I've gone there, it's kind of given me an idea of telling you about this Savior, but it's about that we as children of God are not here, placed here, on our own time. It's God's time. And this time that God has given us has a purpose in it. That's given to us as one for us to understand, I'd like to think. A brother a few weeks ago at a district meeting there in the Wetumpka Association that I visited, one of them made the statement about God has a people in every kindred, nation, and tongue. And that's true. We have that through Bible scripture to tell us that. And we rest assured upon that, that He does. And in that, though, all these children of God, are they going to know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question, and that was something that he brought to an examination. Well, we as children of God here in this country have been very much given a special talent, and that is most of us have been given an education, and the education in learning to read the English language. When Brother Aquino had prayed, he thought, thank God for this wonderful book. And this is the Word of God that we have before us, and it was a treasure when it was given to us in the English language. Amen. Especially for me, I'll tell you. For it gave me an opportunity as a child to pick it up and to read it. And when I was able to read, I came to many things that maybe I didn't hear when I was brought up in another form of public worship, in another religious order. But I would read things that would wonderfully describe about my Lord and Savior. But now I want to bring to your attention here in this 63rd chapter of Isaiah what our God Almighty has given us a picture of. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And it says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That is going to be the answer to these questions. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thine garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? He says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. Now I want to stop in this particular situation, and what you've heard was questions and then answers. And in this, that we have been given this English word here that's put in words for us to understand. Now, child of grace, if they read this, hopefully they might would understand it. Who is this man that they're speaking of? And in this, in these questions, they're going to wonder, and they're going to say, it's speaking of someone mighty to save. It is self-explanatory, the righteousness. And we as a child of grace, as we come to understand who we are, we see that we have no righteousness of our own. We see that we are sunken down in a way that we could not bring ourselves up. And dear child of grace, when God Almighty has given us an understanding of what's taken place in our life, we hope to be able to see how low we are without Jesus Christ. And we'll say we're as low as they could have ever been. And we could say that we're as deep in the pit of clay that could ever been cast. And there would be no way, if you've ever been on in played as a child, or like I did, you'd take every advantage you could to be outside, play with on a hillside that was clay. Especially if it was wet, in a slant, you might dig your way up and make little cut holes. But if it's straight, you're not going to probably crawl yourself out at all. And we find ourselves, as some of the prophets of old found themselves, deep in miry clay, deep in a pit. Here he explains to us that there's this one that came, and he has tread that wine press all alone. And he's the only one that could tread it, as he is also in Revelation spoken of, the only one that could open the book with our names inscribed.
That's right.
Now that to us should be able to understand that when we get to the Gospels, the four Gospels, we're speaking of Jesus Christ our Savior. Here in the time of Isaiah, these words were written down, and it was a mystery to many people. But to the children of God, when it was given Isaiah to interpret it, and to pin it down and to interpret it to them, and to let them know, he was talking about a mighty Savior. Here we have today an understanding of something that we come to understand by maybe the English word, but before you could understand it with the English word, you had to feel it within the heart. The heart is what's going to be changed first, and so we find in the third chapter of John, and I understand that the John 3:3 was probably something that came to your understanding first, or something that Brother Steve's coming to him, understanding his question and so forth, finding out about John 3:3, what I've read about what you said, or either I heard you say it. But anyway, the thing there is we find in the third chapter of John how Jesus Christ himself, the teacher, and teaches even one that's learned, Nicodemus. So here we also see the teacher, Isaiah, teaching children of God. Now look, they're given this prophet to write this down. They're given this prophet to teach these things. But here we are today that even Jesus Christ told them that even saw him after the resurrection, said there will be those that will believe and yet have not seen. And those things that God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, was telling those disciples that touched him, that felt him, doubting Thomas, the Apostle Peter, those that were headstrong. And he also told them that there'll be those that believe without even seeing. And see, that's what you have. We see Christ, and the only way we can see Christ is going to be in each other. Because the Spirit of Christ is what really gives you your heart of flesh, your heart of feeling. The Spirit of Christ, the three-in-one Godhead, comes in the Spirit and gives you birth. And that's how we look at these things and are assured. And here we see, and we're seeing in the old days, in the time of Isaiah, the questions asked. And then God himself giving Isaiah the answer. See, they didn't live in a time of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They were living way before his time. And they were, though being understanding in Isaiah's day and time, to come to understand that there was going to be a Savior. That this Savior is going to come in Jesus' time. He said there are those that saw him and they didn't believe. There are those that were even preached to by the young preacher Stephen. And we find in the 7th chapter of Acts of his great discourse upon what Jesus Christ had shown him. But his great preaching there was going to many ears that had not known God. They said they did. They wanted to follow after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they held to the law. But see, Jesus Christ had already come on the scene. This great, wonderful teacher had already come. This great, wonderful Savior had already been. But at this time when Stephen was preaching the this great, wonderful discourse to these, I would say, believers. There were some believers there, but it sounds like there was more non-believers. But what happened in that particular time? It says in the 7th chapter of Acts, we see in this discourse, in the 54th verse, it says, when they heard these things, now this is Stephen, he is come all the way to the point of telling them in the 51st verse, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, and so do ye. He had preached a great discourse here. He had preached the truth is what he had seen and known, what the Holy Spirit had put upon his heart to say. This one, Stephen, he came to this point by the Holy Spirit, and just as you had prayed this evening for the Holy Spirit to take over on this course of that we are going, that we would preach sound doctrine, that we would preach that of the Word of God. And we see these things of history that have taken place, and here you are today living in history. Because after the moment, history has been made. Here you are sitting here today, and today we don't fear anyone to come and stand at the door to keep us from coming in. We don't have a fear of anyone busting through the door to take us out and to scatter the people, do we? That's a great, wonderful gift that even God gave His people. Gave His people in this country. And many men and women have fought for that, for us to have that. And now we come to this area, and of course we think about what this great nation is founded upon, and I have to admit, going to Philadelphia and seeing some of the sites up there a few years in 2005, but I see these things, and I see what history has done for this country. But for the child of grace, if they'll take the Word of God, they'll see history that was made. Amen. They'll see the time that God told His people what to do, and some followed, and some were rebellious. They'll see in time, as what we brought to your attention here, is Stephen, a great martyr, a preacher of the Word, a deacon, as you might would think, but he's able to speak about this great God and great majesty, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he's talking to ears that have not been touched, though. And what did they do? When they heard these things, it says they were cut to the heart.
That's right.
The heart wasn't pricked. That heart was a heart of stone, is what that heart was. It was cut to the heart. Well, see, I believe that I'm sitting with and standing with right now, talking to a wonderful people that God has touched and given you that birth, given you that that we would consider circumcision. What I couldn't come to my mind that moment, but the circumcision of the heart. And here you are sitting under hopefully the soundness of the Word of God to be spoken of, and you are touched. You're a believer. You're one that knows that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're not out on the street corner preaching, or we're not out in a great area. And one thing you're not going to hear here is, at this particular spot, is what you would have to do to receive salvation. I'm thankful for that, because it's not taught here. It's not taught here in this way. What we receive is what Jesus Christ has been given by God above. What we receive is the life-giving blood of the precious gift of our Lord and Savior. What we have all been given is a gift that we cannot refuse.
Amen.
It's been given to you, and your heart's been changed, and you can't tell me that after we get to talk to one another for about 5 or 10 minutes, and if I were to talk with you for about 5 or 10 minutes, and just through normal conversation, I wouldn't have to ask too much of you, I believe I could feel the warmth from your heart to mine. And that's what's special about this love that Jesus Christ has given us. That we receive. We may be 800 or 900 miles from you, or I don't know how our life, how far San Antonio is from here, but I'll tell you this, the Spirit of the Lord is there and here and at home at the same time. Here we are, and we think about this one that wore these dyed garments. We think about this one that did tread the winepress alone and that was not able to do these things. That the only one was Jesus Christ. I could not do it for me, and you could not do it for yourself. And I tell you, it's nothing there that you could do to attain this wonderful thing that was given to you. Even Stephen tried his best, and well, I'll put it, I'm not going to say he tried his best. He did that of the Spirit of God put upon him to do, and that was preach a sermon. But he was convicted. He was convicted first by God to do it. He was placed in a place to make it be known, and it was known publicly. Here, this one that undoubtedly loved the Lord was gnashed upon, and it says, even with their teeth. But it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then it says they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Stoned him for what he had done. They had been cut to the heart, but their heart was stoned. It was never touched, never pricked. We find in the second chapter, the great Apostle Peter was preaching one of the greatest sermons at a time, and it says men there were pricked to the heart with the gospel being preached. Pricked. The heart was pricked. You can't prick something unless it's penetrable. And this heart's there of many men was penetrated. And their question was, what shall we do? Dear child of grace, I'll tell you today, you're living in a great time. We're not so anxious to hear about the bad news, I have to admit. And some of the things we talk about out there, what some of the leaders of this country are doing, and I'll put it, undoubtedly it must be a majority. It's not a good thing for a lot of people, maybe. But I will tell you, you trust the Lord. You go to Him with all your cares. You pray upon Him, to Him, that He guide you and give you that you need each day to go through these times. And He'll give you those things that are sufficient for your day. He'll give you these things that will feed you if you need it, clothe you if you need it, get you here to the worship service if you need it. For God is a God of supply too. Our God that we look to is able, because see, we serve Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This one that went to the wine press and treaded all alone. He is the one that will give you that you need each day. Oh, I'll tell you, dear child of grace, you have responsibilities. We all do. You have these things that we call bills that come to, and you need to pay them also. You may take a different look in responsibility that I might, and vice versa, but I'll tell you, when it comes to the child of grace, most of us want to pay our bills. We want to have enough money to get by on to do that, don't we? For sure. Well, money is a useful tool. It's needed in this country. And I don't know what tomorrow will be like when it comes to certain things, but this I am assured of. I'm assured my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be with me. Never forsake me. He'll never leave me. As I know, He'll never leave you. We may leave a way that He's teaching, but I'll tell you, dear child of grace, you've been given the Word of God right here. It's God's Word. It's the testimony of Jesus' life, the Old Testament, all the way to our Lord and Savior. Talking about our Lord and Savior, telling us about our Lord and Savior, showing us the Savior that went with Moses as they traveled through the wilderness. Showing us the Savior that kept a cloud over them at day and gave them light at night. A Savior that we see that fed them in the time that they needed feed. And when they asked, they even got the meat they wanted. Your child of grace, we have a Savior who is the same that they had. He is that same one that you look to today. And you know, we live in a day and time that we can look back at history when He lived. We have the Word here. We have the Word about our Lord and Savior. You know those two that walked on the road to Emmaus that kind of was at a loss of things there after the Lord was put upon the cross and crucified? And there was 3 days there and Jesus Christ had already rose from the tomb. There was two that walked to Emmaus that was wondering about what's to come. What about our Lord? He was put to death. This one that we call Jesus. Can you understand that they were in a doubt? Could you even think that they just wondered who He was, if He was truly who He was? They had to believe that He was, because I'm sure those two even saw the many miracles that He performed. Why, you know that they knew that He was the Lord at one time. But see, they were in a questioning state, weren't they? They were really close to one another, and then Jesus came up upon them. Our Lord and Savior came in that moment in time to remove the doubt, to talk with them, to listen to their problem. Does that not tell you that He is here for you also today? He'll listen to your problem. Talk it over with two. You've got a problem? Talk it with someone over with someone you love. Your pastor hears for that purpose. Your deacons will listen. They won't go tell everyone about your problem. They're here to give you a safe haven too. But I'll tell you, when you talk a problem over with somebody and you're in question, I think sometimes the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, creeps up from within you. When within both of you, the Spirit will give you an answer. He'll give you an answer of a surety that things are going to be all right. He's going to give you an answer of an assurity that we as children of God in this day and time are going to be taken care of. He's going to take care of His bride. I grant you, I believe that. I've known many men. I love my wife. And for 32 years, we have been just, I believe, truly in love. And I don't know what I'd do without her. She's made the statement, what will I do? And I said, well, just read the Bible. We'll talk on the phone. Read the Bible. And your baby boy, he's going to be home a few nights. So, but anyway, I trust the Lord's going to be there more than anything. The surety that we've been given. And it's one that will never be nulled and void. He's always there. He told Nicodemus these things, how it was to be. And here you are, sitting here today, or tonight, listening to me, that I know that by the power that God has given each one of us, He's given us this power, what we call faith. And we need to rely on it. Yes, we have duties and we have responsibilities in our own lives, but when it comes to the church, we have a great responsibility. This church right here, when I drove up the first time, I remember seeing a picture of it, but it looked so beautiful to me. Church house that, and when I'm saying the church, I will say the church building. I don't say church, ever say church, but I will say church building. It reassured me of some of the people that were, of the people that were coming here. The neatness that I saw. The clean look that it, that is outside. It showed me of some people that took responsibility by great pride. And what you have done to keep it this way. The other thing was just striking the hand of your pastor and hearing him say his name. What we can learn by just these things, if we will listen. Understanding that we as children of God are humble. We're humble because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're non-deserving. You see, before the foundation of the world, He elected a people. And that people is to be known His bride. And what a man would not do for his bride. I'm talking about a bride he truly loves. The husband of this bride that we're part of gave his life. He treaded the winepress all alone. But he gave martyrs, he gave ministers, he gave pastors. I guess of days here in the United States, if I think of a martyr, I can't recall her name, but it was a young girl out in Columbine. And I told myself I'd never forget her name. But what she did is stood up and said she believed in God. And those young boys killed her. And it would break your heart what they did in that. But how, if you had read the story of that young girl's life, of how grace had changed her life there the past few months before. A martyr, yes she was. Child of grace, I know. We don't know who will be a martyr tomorrow. Stephen in that day, always remember Jesus is with us. He's always seeing what we do. He's always there to talk to us if we'll listen. He's ready. Remember that one that tread the winepress alone, mighty to save, to give you peace, peace in this day and time, and life evermore. The life evermore is more to come. More to come. Pray for me and mine, brother. Montgomery, I'll leave that there. You can look at it if you need to. I don't think you're going to need to.